We're going to open our service this afternoon by singing the first hymn in the order of service. I am redeemed, O praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in Him who died for me. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. I sing it o'er and o'er. I am redeemed, O praise the Lord, redeemed forevermore. I'm going to stand, please, while we sing this hymn. Amen. Let us all stand. I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in Him who died for me.
I am ready. cast my cross at Jesus' feet and cry, redeemed, redeemed. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. I'll sing it o'er and o'er. I am redeemed.
Seated. Let us all unite our hearts together in prayer. And let us seek the Lord's face as we come into His presence today. I'm very glad to have Reverend Cook with us this afternoon, former minister of the church here. And we're going to ask Reverend Cook to come and open our service in prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather in the Savior's name, and we gather one with the other in this congregation. It is a time of mourning, and yet there is a triumphant note that goes through all our mourning. As we mourn the passing of our sister Edna, yet we thank Thee for the triumphant note of the Gospel. Yes, Lord, this is a bitter, sweet experience. We have the bitterness of death, but we thank Thee for the sweetness of eternal life. We have the bitterness of our human and natural sorrow, but we thank Thee for the joy of Thy salvation. And Lord, there is the bitterness of the gloom of the shadow of death, but we thank Thee for the sweetness of the glory. And our sister Edna has entered into the fullness of that glory. Lord, we can say that the pilgrim's journey has come to an end. Her traveling days through this old world are finished. And she has entered into the everlasting city. No more mountains of difficulty to climb. The last one has been climbed in her experience. No more going down into a valley of dismay, because the last valley has been traversed. And the last river has been crossed. We thank Thee that she is now with the one who loved her and gave himself for her. The laborer's work is done. The last meeting has been held. The last chorus has been sung, and the last scripture verse has been taught, and the last child pointed to the Savior. The work is done. And for the soldier of the cross, the battle is over. All the battle of life is over. With all its difficulties and problems, and the battle in the spiritual realm for her is over, against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We thank Thee, Lord, that she is now at peace. That peace that passeth all understanding is hers in absolute completeness and perfection today. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou dost guide through all the pathway of life, but bring at last to the eternal home. She was an ambassador, as all the children of God are in this foreign land of this world. She has handed over her credentials to the King. She's gone in to hear his words of approval. And Lord, the laborer has indeed gone to her rest and the soldier to peace. We thank thee, Lord, for thy great salvation. What a difference it makes in such a situation as this. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless every word that was spoken in the gospel in the years gone by. Lord, may it yet bear fruit, and even in thy will in days to come, that it will yet bear fruit to the salvation of sinners. And, O God, we pray that we might even hear her voice again, even from the unseen, saying to us, exalt the Savior. Exalt the man of Calvary. Exalt the blood of his cross. Exalt the power of his salvation. We know that you would say, encourage the believer. Encourage them on in the work of God and the testimony of the Savior himself. And exhort the unconverted, the unsaved, the sinner, to get right with God. O God, we pray that even at our sister's death, there might be those who will realize that they too face eternity. And if they're not saved and born again of the Spirit, if they've never known the cleansing from sin of the precious blood of the Lamb, if they've never known the gift of thy salvation, we pray that even through her passing and through these services, that there might be those who will come to her Savior. We pray that thou remember those who mourn her most. Remember the family circle. We pray, Lord, that thou will come to them now. We ask, Lord, that thou will calm the troubled spirit, console the mind, and comfort the heart, as only God can do. And we pray, O God, that even though that this is a time of death, that the vibrancy of everlasting eternal life might thrill through it all. And we pray, O God, that every part of the rest of these funeral services might be to the glory of Edna's Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
This afternoon in our funeral service, two of Edna's nephews are going to take part. And we're going to ask Jonathan to come and read the scriptures to us. And then immediately after Jonathan reads the scriptures, we'll ask Timothy to bring us a solo. Thank you.
This morning I found a note which Auntie Edna wrote quite recently for the box opening here at the church for her children's crusade. She said, "Today I was talking to a lady in the village, and this is what she said. You know those verses you send home with the children? They are messages from God to me. There is no substitute for the word of God. Therefore, let us read the word of God from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I almost feel I should ask you all to recite it after me and remember it from verse 5 to verse 8. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast told soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. For me be it Christ, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. But, Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
We're very glad this afternoon to have the Reverend Ivan Foster with us. When our sister Edna started the work among the boys and girls here in County Fermanagh, Reverend Foster was the minister here in the church in Bethel. And we're very glad that he could come along today to bring a tribute to Edna, and we're going to ask him to do that now.
I've taken part in many funerals, preached the gospel on many sad occasions. None, perhaps, has affected me more directly than this one, and the passing of Edna. I really do count it a privilege to pay tribute to Edna, and I want to thank the family for asking me to do so. Edna was a dear Christian. She was beloved of many, many people, especially in this part of the world. I must state at the very beginning of this tribute that anything I have to say about Edna will, in truth, fall far short of paying an adequate tribute to her and her labors in the cause of the Lord Jesus. And the reason for that is that few of us know the full extent of her labors for the Savior and the degree of dedication and love that resided in her heart for the work of God. We rejoice in the grace of God in the life of Edna Weir. Edna was converted when she was 17 in Darling Street Methodist Church. It was under the ministry of Tom Butler. Immediately, she was involved in the work of the gospel, teaching in the Sunday school in what was her church at that time, Lisbelaw Methodist Church, and also in the Methodist Hall at Gola. Very early on, she felt the call of God to prepare herself for the work of God. And she attended Emmaus College, Bible College in Hollywood, no longer exists. There, for 3 years, she studied in preparation to serve the Lord. That was in the mid-60s. Upon returning home to Lisbelaw, she joined the then infant Lisbelaw Free Presbyterian Church. Now, it has to be said that it was typical of Edna that once she saw an issue that required her to take a stand for the Savior, then stand she would, irrespective of the price that she had to pay or the reproach that she would have to bear. She would obey the Lord. She felt that there was indeed a departure from the old ways of the gospel taking place in the land. And she would stand with those who were resisting such trends and seeking to preach the old gospel message. It was about 1971 that she took charge of the children's work in the Lisbalaw Church. She, along with her faithful associate and her chauffeur, Barbara, diligently rounded up the children of that area and brought them to the meetings. Many of you here today were amongst those that she rounded up and diligently and lovingly taught you the gospel. I pray that that which she taught you has benefited you, and that you have obeyed the words that she spoke. It was in the mid-70s, apparently, for this information was given to me, I had forgotten it. Apparently it was on the way to the opening of Corrigarry Free Presbyterian Church building when a bus party was travelling up from the congregation here in Bethel, that I asked Edna if she would consider taking on the work of a full-time evangelist in the congregation, because the children's work was growing. As a result of her readiness to take on that work, and let it be said, at very, very little remuneration, Bethel Children's Crusade was born. And soon she was laboring as a full-time evangelist in various outreaches, children's outreaches, here in Bethel, continuing, of course, the work in Lisbalaw, also in Tresna, and then in Springfield. And she continued to be ably assisted by Barbara. Let it be said that the work that Edna was engaged in did not merely require diligent preparation for the actual meetings, or even getting the children to the meetings, all of which entailed quite some labor. But no, Edna's work entailed more than that. She was, in truth, a real pastor to the children that attended her meetings and the parents of the children who attended her meeting, especially if they themselves were not really affiliated with any church. What diligent attention, prayerful, loving attention, she heaped upon such children and their families. Edna was a wonderfully unique person. I don't think I need to tell you that, those of you who knew her. She was gentle and loving, but she had an ability to persuade the most difficult, carnoptious person to her way of thinking. And that really without them realizing that they had been persuaded to change their mind and go in the very opposite direction that they were intent on going. She was a living example of one who followed the counsel of the Lord Jesus when he said to his disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Edna's secret was that she was utterly surrendered to the will of her master. Edna didn't serve trends or fashions or fancies or notions. Edna served the Lord She was a living example of the outworking of Paul's exhortation. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Edna lived for Jesus Christ alone. She cared for nothing except the souls of those children that God had brought under her charge and the work of God generally. She was an utterly selfless laborer in the Lord's vineyard. That labor was not limited to the children, as many a Christian who at some time or other passed through stormy waters will readily tell you. Edna was always on hand to assist, to counsel, to pray with anyone tried and troubled. The death of Edna Weir was in circumstances that really sum up her life and her service. You know, her final illness was most likely brought on by her persisting in laboring amongst her various children's meetings, even though she was suffering from a severe bout of flu. She would rise from her sickbed to go to the various children's meetings. This doubtless exacerbated her sickness. And she finally developed other complications which her system was just unable to cope with. And even with the aid of medical science, she went to be with the Lord on the day of the final meeting of her amalgamated children's meetings, because there was always the annual picnic that marked the end of another year. This year, that day not only marked the end of another year's work, but it marked the end of a life of unstinting service amongst boys and girls, and particularly boys and girls in this part of the world. Edna was of that spirit that Paul manifested when he said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." She put her hand to many labors. She taught even for a season in her own school over in Kilskerry, until a bout of ill health, heart trouble, brought that to an end. To actually classify Edna is a little difficult. To me, she was a Phoebe, of whom we read in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also." I have no doubt that Edna and Phoebe are getting on well right now. But she was more, I feel. She was also a Deborah. One who was a mother in Israel, but whose presence and fellowship strengthened Barak in the battle. Indeed, he wouldn't go to battle without her. And that gentle, spirited Edna Weir was a soldier of the First Order. Let me tell you, Edna's shoes will be hard to fill. Though he who raised her up can and will replace the one he has taken to be with himself. As one of her co-workers said to me just last night, "Joshua followed Moses. and God will have his replacement for Edna. In many ways, for us of this generation, I'm speaking really on behalf of the old fogies now, Edna will never be away, for her works do follow her, and her testimony and her example lives on amongst us. We bless God for the privilege of knowing her and laboring alongside her for a season. To her family, to her sisters, Primrose, Barbara and Margaret, to her brothers-in-law, Kenneth and Frank, and to the nephews and nieces, and if I'm not mistaken, grandnephews, grandnieces. We offer our sincere Christian sympathies and assure you of our prayers. We grieve with you for Edna, the sister beloved, but we rejoice that for her it is absent from the body, present with the Lord. We do not say goodbye to Edna, but only good night, or as she would have said, nighty night. We who are obedient to the gospel she proclaimed, and who are saved by the Savior she served, shall see her again in the morning. We praise the Lord for Edna.
We're all going to sing another hymn on the order of service. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else would do. We're going to stand again to sing this hymn.
Lord.
Church here in Bethel to express our deepest sympathy to the entire family circle of late Miss Edna Weir. We think especially of Barbara, Margaret and Frank, Primrose and Kenneth and all their families. And I want to assure them of our prayers at this time and our support in this sad time in their bereavement. And I want to pay tribute to the way that you all attended Edna over these past 2 weeks. I want to give a special word of thanks to Edna's niece, Jill, for all her unfailing care and attention to Edna during her recent sickness. There's no doubt that Jill has gone the second mile in displaying her care for Edna, and I want to put that on record this afternoon. It was a great privilege for me to know Edna Weir. And although I just got to know her over these past 4 years coming to Enniskillen, I felt that I had known her all my life. Aunt Edna, as she is well known to us all, will be greatly missed, especially by this congregation. And I, on behalf of the session and committee of our church, want to pay tribute to her this afternoon for the great work that she accomplished among the boys and girls in this church. We do thank God for ever raising her up to work among the children. Not only was she a godly woman, but she was a dedicated servant of Christ. Her labours among the boys and girls will never be equaled, I believe, in this county. And as I pay tribute to Edna, I want, like the Reverend Foster, to thank Barbara, Edna's sister, for all the help and encouragement that she was to Edna down through the years. Because for many years, Barbara would have driven Edna to the meetings. And while Edna was always in the public view, Barbara was always in the background, helping in some way. And we want to pay tribute to what Barbara has done as well.
But I was thinking of what would be the greatest tribute that we could pay to her today. And I thought that surely there would be no greater tribute than we could pay to Auntie Adna as a church and as a congregation than to make sure that the work that she has begun among the boys and girls in County Fermanagh continues. And I know that if she were here today that she would say a loud amen to that. As I've said, it's hard to know who would fill her shoes. But surely, collectively, you and I could determine, come what may, that the zeal that Edna had for the children's work would become a part of us. And that the fervent spirit that was in Auntie Edna for the boys and girls, for this county, would enter into us so that we would build upon the foundation that our dear sister has laid. I earnestly pray that that will be the case. As I was praying and seeking the Lord for what to say this afternoon, the Lord drew my attention to that portion of Scripture that the Reverend Foster read a few moments ago in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And in that portion of Scripture we read these words, "I commend unto you Phoebe our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also." You know, throughout the Bible there are many lesser known characters, individuals who, although they are mentioned in the Word of God, very little is said about them. One such individual is a woman by the name of Phoebe. And of course, we have read the record of Scripture to her today. This is the only time that Phoebe is mentioned in the Bible. And yet, although we have only two verses in the whole of the canon of Scripture that speaks about this woman, they give us such a wonderful description of her Christian character and service for Christ. There's no doubt that Phoebe was one of the many women in the Bible that was blessed and used of God. And the end of our service this afternoon, very simply, I want to consider this woman, because what we learn about her, I believe, can be applied to the life of Edna Weir. There's a number of things, very simply, that I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice that Paul describes Phoebe as our sister. "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister." This simply means that Phoebe was in the family of God and was the spiritual sister of Paul. When we refer to another Christian as brother or sister, we are, of course, simply acknowledging that that person has been adopted into God's family by the miracle of the new birth. In other words, they are saved. Of course, those of you who are familiar with the Scriptures will know that this terminology is used time and time again by the Apostle Paul when he addressed fellow Christians. In Colossians 1, verse 1, Paul describes Timothy as his brother. And then in Colossians 4, verses 4 and 9, he speaks of Tychicus and Onesimus in the same way. Therefore, this description of Phoebe tells of her standing in Christ. There was a day when she was gloriously converted and saved by the grace of God. A day when she was brought into the family of God. And of course, there was a day when our dear sister Edna was brought into the family of God as well, when she was saved by the grace of God. No doubt that Edna Weir knew and loved the Lord. And we thank God for that day and her own experience when she was a girl of 17 years of age, when she realized that she was a sinner and recognized that only Christ could save her, and by faith and in repentance, she accepted the Lord Jesus as her own and personal Redeemer. And those of us who are saved could truly say that she was our sister in the Lord. I wonder, as we are gathered here this afternoon, at Edna's funeral service, can you say that you are in the family of God? That you're saved? That you're born again of the Spirit of God? Well, men and women, when we come to death, really that's the only thing that matters. Edna's in heaven today, not because she belonged to this church, and not because she was a faithful worker in this church, but she's in heaven today because there was that specific time in her life when she came as a sinner to Jesus and was born again of the Spirit of God. And if you're ever going to get into heaven, then you must be able to look back to that day when you were saved. Was it not the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God"? And I would urge upon you today to come and trust Edna's Savior, to turn away from your sin, and by faith accept the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. And then you too can enter the family of God. And then when you come to pass from this scene of time, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Well, Paul describes Phoebe as a sister, and that speaks of her position in Christ. But then Paul goes on in this definition, or this description, to draw our attention to the fact that Phoebe not only was a sister in the Lord, but Phoebe was a servant of the church. Because it says there, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea." You know, this teaches us that Phoebe was a member of the assembly of believers which met at Cenchrea. In other words, Phoebe put herself as a Christian under the authority of the oversight of that church. As a member of that church, she served the Lord in her local congregation. She was a servant of the church, and also she was a servant of Christ. You know, there are three words that sum up the service of Edna Weir for me: faith, faithfulness, and fervency. She had a strong faith in God's word. She was faithful for many years as she served God among the boys and girls throughout County Fermanagh. And she was fervent in the place of prayer. She never missed the place of prayer. She was always on the outreach. She was always seeking to win not only the boys and girls for Christ, but the adults as well. And she was easy to work with. I think what one of our elders said yesterday about Edna was very true. He said, "Edna always worked well with you and never against you." And that's true. And there's no doubt that we will miss her prayers, and we will miss her fellowship, and we will miss her labours amongst us. I'm sure that many of you are aware that the name Phoebe means the shining one. And I believe that we can say concerning our sister Edna that she shone out in her witness for Christ. She shone out in her service for the Lord. And she left us a wonderful example, those of us who are saved, to continue on in the work of the Lord. Edna did not know the meaning of the word finish, give up. She always battled on. And the Lord gave her many, many precious souls for her labor. But there's something else I want you to notice here in verse 2. Paul not only described her as our sister, that was her position in Christ. Not only did he describe her as the servant of the church, that's her place of service. But Paul describes Phoebe here as a succorer of many. It says in verse 2, "that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also." A succorer is one who goes to the aid of another to give encouragement and support. This means that Phoebe was a woman that was gracious and kind and gentle and sincere and sympathetic. One who always sought to reach out a hand to help. And of course, this verse teaches us that she also showed that kindness to the great Apostle Paul himself. She helped and encouraged Paul in the ministry. You know, Edna Weir was such a person. Only eternity will reveal all those who were helped and encouraged by her. She had a genuine concern for others. And they took those words in Ephesians 4 verse 32 and applied them to her life in a very real way. In that text it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." She spent her life reaching out for others and helping them in whatever way she could, with the aim of reaching them for Christ. Oh, I wonder, as we come to the close of our service today, and as we thank God for the life of a godly woman, a faithful servant, how do you stand with the Lord? How will you die? We rejoice today that we don't mourn as those without hope, because someday we're going to see our sister Edna again in the glory, those of us who are saved. And what a great reunion that will be when we all get home to glory. Edna died in the Lord. She died as a redeemed child of God. Today she's with her Lord, which is far better. But when you come to die, how will you die? Edna died prepared. Will you die unprepared? You know, the truth is this, that those who die without Christ are lost forever. The Lord Jesus says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And the scriptures teach clearly that while there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. My friend, with all the love in my heart today, I would say to you, flee from the wrath which is to come. This is the message that Edna preached. That the Lord Jesus died and shed his blood upon the cross to save men from hell and to bring men to heaven. And you know, as I look around the congregation today, I see many, many who come to this church and have come right from the day the doors have been opened. And you've known Edna all your life. And you've watched her. And you've listened to her. And many times she has spoken to you about your soul. And certainly many times she has prayed for you. Would you not come and trust the Lord Jesus today? And put your faith in him. And thank God when you come to leave this scene of time, you too can go to be with Christ for all eternity. May God speak to your heart and draw you to the Lamb of Calvary. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee and praise thee for every remembrance of our sister Edna today. We thank thee, Lord, for that day in her life when she came as a sinner to Jesus, when she trusted thee as her own and personal Redeemer. We thank thee for her service for thee. And we praise thee, Lord, for everyone that has come to know the Lord through her ministry. And we thank thee, Lord, for all those that she helped and that she encouraged by the way. And, O God, we pray today that you would speak on. And, O God, that even this afternoon, that there will be those who will come to trust Edna's Saviour and serve Edna's God. We do pray, Lord, that we all would number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. O God, that we might realise that life at best is very brief. like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep, how men and women need to be in time. For Lord is appointed unto men once to die, but after death the judgment. Bless your word. Again, Lord, we pray for the family circle. We thank thee for the grace that you've given to them over these past weeks and days. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to minister unto their every need and sustain. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. We're going to sing the closing hymn on the order of service. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. And after we sing this hymn, we're going to remain standing while the remains are brought out of the church. And I would ask all of those in the gallery, please, to just remain where you are until the remains are taken out of the church. Thank you. Let us all stand.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray, from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in.
Prayer. Dear Lord, that's the prayer at the end of this funeral service. Bring them in from the fields of sin. O God, you know the prayers our sister prayed for her own family circle, for her friends and neighbors. We pray that thou wilt answer those prayers today. May some sinner come to Christ. May some soul be saved. May that be the crown of it all. We pray now that thou wilt go with those who go to the burying place. May thy presence still be felt. But now may thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace, from Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be our abiding portion, now and each day, till the Saviour comes, or the Saviour calls. We ask it in his name, for his sake. Amen.